Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Sharing Ministries. I'm going to get right into the message. Oh my goodness. Yeah. God is such an incredible God. Our subject is purposeful faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is purposeful faith in our Lord and having the power and letting that faith be powerful. I'm going to actually share the message from Sunday. So we'll just start right in with it. All right, here we go. Oh, lost it again. Okay, try this one more time. Technology is a wonderful thing, especially when it works. God is an incredible God. And I'm just, it's really acting goofy. But, you know, I'm targeting the different messages in the Bible on faith that has power. And that's what we want. Just faith that's incredible and that God respects and works with. And God loves us. He just wants us to serve him and to love him. So let's try this one more time.
And the word of God.
There we are.
How he will abide and how he says, if you ask anything in my name for my purpose, according to my will, then you know it's a guarantee at all times. God didn't intend for you to live in a mystery. Well, I don't know what my callings are. I don't know what my strength is. I don't know what my purpose is. Really not that hard to figure out. Just look at yourself and just ask yourself the easy question. What do you like most? What comes easy? What, you know, just, and when I ask, when I hear, and then they're able to answer those questions. Well, I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. Or what are you going to do? I don't know. I said, well, let me ask you this. Where do you spend most of your time doing? You know, what is easy for you? What makes you happy all the time? What's consistent? I think I can almost say mostly 100%. And they may say, well, there are lots of things. And they'll name a variety of things that I'm able to take that and group it into a category. Like a person said to me once, well, I like reading and I like history and I like seeing things. I said, well, I think you'd make a great art curator. And they went, I'm a museum creator. They went, what? I'm like, well, there's your history. You're seeing art and you don't have to talk to people a lot, but you can do so and so. And I just talked actually to someone yesterday whose person finished they're autistic and they finished their degree in some kind of museum something. They say you go to the museum and they can rattle off all the history of everything because they're not really communicating and interacting with the people that they're touring. They're just spitting out facts, and their memory is incredible. So they found a niche. They know what it is that turns them on. And it may be a variety of things. And the other things, don't be willing, you know, to kind of walk through the park or walk through the woods. You may have to walk a while till all the things come together that show you what you do. I'm a concert artist. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be the first famous lady composer. And I would sit and compose and play my piano and sing. And then as I grew up, I found out there were other lady composers. I'm like, excuse me, somebody beat me at my goal? Really? But that initiative is that I wanted to be first. I continually do first, as I love initiating. If you're in a crowd and we've got to do something, who wants to go first? It's always me. Let me set the standard. Let me put the bar here. Oh, I love being first. So that has brought me to this autism school here first. Did I ever think? Never. I had planned to tour the world and to do this and to do that. And guess what? I'm getting to do that. One of the blessings, and I won't go into detail, but somewhere in the world right now, we're getting ready. And by January, it should be open, a cast mine in another country. Yeah. So I'll get to tour. I'll perform while I'm there. I always generally do. So the things that were the outline things that I wanted, they're not massaged in the way that I ever thought. But they're massaged. Here's the catch. Thank you, Jesus. They're massaged in a way that helps others. And that's what we're here for, is to help others. So with your goals and your loves and the things that you want to do, make sure they help others, because that's something that God came. He said he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes on him should not perish but should have everlasting life. That's to help others. So if you can line up your mission, and my subtitle is Speak Faith, Say the Word, and Conclusive, Wait for the Processing of Your Purpose. So if you could purpose, the subject was purposeful faith with power. If you could be purposeful and congruent with the alignment of why God created us, why we're here. First commandment, love God with all your heart. The other one is love your neighbor. What do you need to love your neighbor for? So you can help them as you love yourself. So make sure what you think is your purpose is purposeful for others. It can't just be centered You know, I wanted to be the first famous lady composer. I wanted to sing. But when I took that and I turned it on how it can help others, that's when doors start opening for me. Because it was something that we're here to give. We're here to serve. And what I want to speak about, the scripture is taken from the 8th chapter of Matthew's. And I took from the first verse down to the 10th verse. And Matthew 8 says, when I come down from the mountain, great mountains, they're talking about Jesus, followed him. And behold, too, they became a leper and worshiped him. And the leper said, put forth his hand and said, will thou make me clean? And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, what we're targeting here is purposeful faith. They had faith in God, but it was a purpose. I want healed. I got faith for what I want. Okay. And the fourth one, and Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. That was some type of sacrifice. 5. And when Jesus entered in Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, and says, Lord, my servant lieth home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. 8. The centurion said unto the Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he do it. 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that follow him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And that's what we're talking about, purposeful faith. And what came out of it? How did he prove that he really had faith? Because he told Jesus, you don't have to come, just speak it. That's all I need you to do. We should be like our Father and speak faith into people. That's why he came. He says, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And I was listening, I was telling my parishioner, I watched this movie called David and Goliath. I guess you could call it a movie. They had about 3, maybe 4 scenes, I think 3, all on a mountaintop. Even poor King Saul was out there in the desert and his daughter. I'm thinking, really? And then he never changed his robe the entire movie, and they went on for days. I'm like, this is a cheap set, but it held my interest because of the script.
Well, it appears there's been a stop in what's going on, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it live. Okay, I'm back. Praise the Lord. Wow. So, what I was talking about was purposeful faith with power. And that means having specificity, having a direction, having a purpose in what you're having faith for. In other words, naming a specific entity that you're believing God for and standing on that, making it purposeful in your life. Because God, man, faith is what moves him. And he says, just speak the word. And that's what our Father did. He did everything by speaking. And so we want to honor what our dad did, what our father did, imitate what he did. Because the scriptures that I use, and it's so supportive, and that he and it just clarifies what I meant. And is I took it from Matthew's the 8th chapter, and I'll jump some due to time, and I'll go to the fifth verse of the eighth chapter of Matthew. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, Lord. He says, Let me do the sixth verse. And he said, Lord, thy servant lies sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and to this, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, to another servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not one in Israel. So he's telling Jesus, you don't need to show up. You speak it. I know just based on your word, if you speak it, it will come to pass. And God is telling us to do exactly the same thing, to speak it, and it will and it shall come to pass. And that's what it says, speak faith, say the word. Now, you do have to wait on God's timing and on God's processing. But he says, never grow weary in well-doing. And well-doing is exercising your faith. You speak a thing, believe. His timing is perfect. He's the only one that lives in the future. So are you going to trust God? You know, are you going to be that representative that you tell? You know, I asked the Lord for so-and-so. So many times when I do things in secret, and so if it doesn't happen, nobody will know and I won't be embarrassed. No. You say, I'm believing the Lord for this. And you watch what he does. I've been in meetings and it's just been miraculous. They're saying, what's wrong with your wrist? Something's wrong with it. Yeah, it's wrapped up and da da da. I said, well, we're going to believe the Lord that he's going to heal it now. So is the pressure on for who? Our God is the God of miracles. He doesn't live under pressure. Now, you can let pressure be applicable for you because you're thinking, whoo, what if he doesn't hear me? What if he doesn't? He said, if your word abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will. Now, there's no sense in you getting up there asking and doing all this stuff if you know you have aught in your heart, because he says, leave the altar, go clean up your mess. You do have to walk right before the Lord in order for the right thing to happen. But when you've done that, God's promise is that he will do that. And God gives us an assignment that are specifically for us, that he wants us to have purposeful faith for. And he's going to give us the power to get those assignments done. God will bring, if you think positive, and the positive means having faith, not just think, you know, the good old be positive and the magnetic positive. Have faith, positively. But don't kill your own faith sentence. Well, I'm believing the Lord for this. Now, we're going to wait and see. And you know, here's plan B just in case. Do not do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's applicable for this as well. When God gives you an assignment, and he's going to provide all the provision. What kind of God would he do? But he needs you to speak it in faith, believe it, and it's extraordinary. Well, it's miraculous and supernatural. Hey, okay. What our God will do for us. I've just been in tearful worship all day because of a phone call where God, I have a little saying, God can do more with the hearts and minds of men above anything we can ask or say, ask or do. And I've only talked to this person once, months ago, and the Lord laid on their heart to call back. And everything, the visions that God has given me and the visions for the things I'm to do because of my assignment and how I'm supposed to speak these things into being. And I've been saying here in the last 2 weeks, I said, let me get back first vision and say, Lord, I'm making a campus. I'm claiming all these buildings and everything. I'm making a campus. I know what you told me to do. I know what I requested. So I said, let me revisit those grounds, revisit that vision. And I know because I brought that back up and said, Lord, you said, I will believe you for this, it will happen. And this phone call today is specific to the task of purpose, of being on purpose, using my faith and with power of getting this done. And I mean, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I went, I'm just flabbergastedly amazed at the goodness of the Lord. He's such an incredible God. He's just amazing with what he wants us to do if we'll have faith in him, if we will believe him. I don't know how far the tape got into that I wanted you to hear from Sunday, but I'll just reiterate some of it. And I had watched this movie on David and Goliath. I love watching things that are scriptural. And the set was very simple. I think they had three, maybe four scenes, and they were all on a hillside. So they didn't spend any money on the hills. God made those. And it was about, and it started right out at, in the camp. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the end of the movie, why they're starting here. But they managed to make a stretch in at the end of the movie. And they started right out with Goliath cursing God and saying nobody's greater than he is. I'm thinking, we're going to build up to the climax. But what they did was they took time and they went through David's posture with his brothers and with the king, and no one had faith but David. He was the only one. Every word that he received was a discouraging word. But he held on to what God had told him and what God had shown him. And God had promised him that because of the anointing oil that came from the vial of oil, when Samuel went to anoint all his other brothers, the oil didn't move. But when it came to David, it poured over him, and he was anointed the next king. Now, how long was it? Over 17 years. But like I said earlier, the timing of the Lord is perfect. You have to maintain faith. And it says, be not weary in well-doing, and keep the faith steady. When you speak a thing, believe it. And it said, it shall be whatsoever you desire. When you pray, believe it now, and it shall be. And he knew that he was anointed to be king. So he could go out and fight Goliath because he couldn't die. He says, I know my God will save me. I know he helped me kill a bear and kill a lion. And they were like, they didn't even believe that. They tried to discredit that. But God said, I am with you. He says, how can you stand and let this giant defame our God? Will anybody stand up against them? And they all said, no, we're not trying to die. They said, we're going to die when the Philistines attack us, but I'm not going to volunteer myself for death. But David said, I'll go. If the Lord calls you, will you go? Will you have faith or will you have fear? If he calls you, because, you know, sometimes he calls us to do some pretty dynamic things. Well, they're always supernatural and they're always things that do not depend on common sense. It depends on God's sense. And which one would you rather be, natural or supernatural? And like the centurion that talked to Jesus, he said, yeah, he's over, way over yonder sick, but if you speak the word, I know that you're omnipresent. I know that you're omnipotent, all powerful. I know that you're omniscient. You know everything, and you're omnipowerful, and you have all power, all knowledge, all presence, and everywhere at the same time. You have all of these elements, powerful, knowledgeable, present, and potent. There's nothing that you don't have, and with that combined, all you have to do is speak the word. And that's what David did. He went out and he told the giant, this day, not tomorrow. I'm not waiting to see if the Lord made a decision or not. I'm simply walking out on faith. This day,
will you be delivered in me by the hand of the Lord? And the giant in the movie was saying, did he come out here in shepherd's clothing? Are you serious? Shepherd's clothing. He's not a man of war. He's a runt as it is. And he didn't bother to put on any armor? Really? And David, they tried to put it on him. He said, I can't wear that stuff. But David knew what his assignment was. He knew that he was not in competition with anyone. And that's how you have to walk. Knowing that you are made purposefully, that's why you got to have purposeful faith. And God will do it with power. He knew that, well, no one else was going to do what he was assigned to do. They were all fearful and just knew they would be killed. But David said, I've got an assignment. My God cannot fail. That's impossible. So when God gives you something and he asks you to go and he asks you to do, and it's like, whoo, oh, hey, he's God. Okay. He owns, I say, all time, all space, everybody and everything, and he will move it just for one of his little ones. And if you're on assignment, no one else can do the assignment. It is strictly for you. And David knew he didn't have any competition. No one else wanted to do it. And all he had to do was be faithful and trust God and believe that God said he would do what he said that he would do. He knew he was anointed to be king. That was his future. So he knew he couldn't die because God doesn't lie. But, you know, he could have been thinking about, well, I might not die, but I could be injured really badly. God would still save my life and not recover to be king. But, you know, I could be injured pretty badly. He didn't even worry about that. Like the three Hebrew boys that walked into the fire. Being burned was not their concern. They said, you know, if we die, we die. But we know our God can't. God wants us to have that kind of faith in him. And that kind of trusting him with your life. Absolutely. There's a processing, but what an opportunity. Not an obstacle, but an opportunity. And God will bless you. He'll keep you. If you keep your mind stayed on him, that's the key factor. You want to have faith, you've got to keep your mind stayed on him, because if you let your thoughts come and other people's thoughts, then you will have a problem. But you don't have to. Have a purposeful faith and watch the power that comes with it and the strength that God gives you to do it because you made up your mind. I got faith and I've got power. Be blessed.